The Big Story from the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
How does the new Trace Together token work? Well, we share what you need to know about this small wearable device. The COVID-19 Multi-Ministry Task Force announced that from next Monday, September 14th, Singapore residents will progressively receive Trace Together tokens.
The nationwide distribution exercise will start in two districts, Jalan Besar and Tanjung Pagar. The new contact tracing tokens will be distributed free of charge.
How does the Trace Together token work? Well, users can carry the small token in a bag or in their pocket. And the token exchanges short-distance Bluetooth signals with nearby tokens or handsets that have the Trace Together app, and this interaction is logged into the devices. All logs are encrypted, and logs older than 25 days will be automatically erased. If the user becomes infected with COVID-19, the device will need to be physically handed over to the authorities to extract the data needed for contact tracing.
We're pleased to welcome back Professor Teo Yek Ying, Dean of the Saw Swee Hock School of Public Health at the National University of Singapore. Professor, plenty of things brought up in last night's press conference, from the distribution of the Trace Together tokens to resumption of more senior-centric activities to heavier fines for first-time offenders in the F&B sector. What was your biggest takeaway?
Thanks for having me again. Actually, it was the overall message that came across that was important, that Singapore is preparing to put in place all these necessary safe management measures at the population level to ensure that many of our activities can carry on safely. So if you look at what was also announced this week around the plans for some of the MICE event, the meetings, incentives, convention, exhibition, I think Singapore is clearly positioning itself to move towards a state of normalcy that will allow our travel, our trade, and our business activities to resume to a much larger extent. And for that to happen, we really need to have in place the measures in the community and in settings that are most susceptible to drive community transmission. And this is really why there was a particular focus last night on the F&B sector, because we know from local, global data, this is one of the most common settings for community transmission to happen. And the other aspect that is important is that as we allow more activities to resume, is the ability to shut down community chains of transmissions as quickly as possible. And this means we need to have a much better way, quicker way of performing the contact tracing. And this is the reason why we're moving towards the use of Trace Together and to distribute it to the whole community.
Prof, let's zoom into the details of yesterday's press conference. We want to get your thoughts on something Second Minister for Manpower, Dr. Tan Sze Ling, said yesterday. Now, let's have a listen to that first.
Now, many of the dormitory residents are COVID-naive. They've never been infected, so they continue to remain susceptible to COVID-19. However, we are prepared for this. We have put in place a multi-layered strategy to detect as well as to contain any new infections very quickly and very decisively.
Can you perhaps shed more light on what Dr. Tan has said? Do you agree or disagree with him?
So there are two aspects here to what Minister have said. First is the extent of spread within the dormitories. Second is the multi-layer measures that have been put in place. So on the first issue regarding the extent of spread in the dormitories, I believe the Ministry of Manpower will have the findings from the test that were performed to clear the dormitories. And based on what we see presently, it does suggest that of the entire population of foreign workers, there is still a substantial proportion of them that remains susceptible to be infected. That is why the second point that Minister said about the layers of measures to protect everyone in the dormitories is especially important. I would actually classify the measures put in place in the following three manners. The first is around surveillance, and this really includes the fortnightly testing of all the residents in the dormitories, including as well as the wastewater sewage testing. This repeated test will help to flush out any infections, particularly the asymptomatic ones that happen to slip through the earlier tests that were used to clear the dorms, because some of the infected people were still in the incubation period when this batch testing to clear the dorms were performed. The second is really around control, and this includes the contact tracing, identifying who are the exposed workers, the ability to isolate and quarantine them very quickly to protect the rest of the community in the dormitories. The third is around prevention, and this includes the safe management measures that are in place at the worksites, at the dormitories, to really reduce the chance that people will be infected.
Now, the multi-ministry task force said that since the dormitories were declared cleared nearly a month ago, there have been an average of 45 workers testing positive daily, and 12 clusters have resurfaced in the past week. Now, in dormitories that were previously cleared of the virus, that sounds to me like a second wave. What say you?
It really depends on what we define as waves of infection. WHO has actually explicitly warned against such classifications, and really it is just a name. I think the reality is we want to stamp out any infections whenever we see them, be it sporadic cases, be it cluster of infection, or be it widespread transmissions that's happening in the dorms. Our strategy remains the same whether we call it a second wave or whether this is just the tail end of the first wave.
We've been speaking to Professor Chiu Ying, Dean of the Saw Swee Hock School of Public Health at NUS.